The following program is a JWC Media production for Game Show Newsnet and CLW83.com.
Jason Block here for WLTI Live and GameShowNewsNet.com, along with CLW83.com. And I am here with a really, really special guy who's also a friend of mine. He just happens to be the undisputed, undefeated champion of Jeopardy, because he has won, I believe, three tournaments now. The Million Dollar Masters in 2002, the Ultimate Jeopardy Tournament, and now recently defeated Roger Craig, and, of course, Ken Jennings to win the Battle of the Decades. Of course, it's Brad Rutter. How are you, Brad?
I am well, and don't forget the 2001 Tournament of Champions, either. Well, that was quite a tough battle as well.
So you won four tournaments. Of course, you know, you didn't unplug Watson, but that's okay.
Well, I don't know if you heard the story, but they were taking Ken and me through the big server farm they had there with the air conditioners blowing, and I did have a bottle of water, and as I was walking out of it, I was like, why did I not just dump this?
Exactly. But I have to ask you the most important question of all. How do you think the Eagles did on their draft this year?
A lot of people were saying it was a reach in the first round, it depends. It's when you're picking at the bottom of the first round like that, it's a kind of a tough spot to be in, where a lot of the guys, you're never going to have 32 first round grades on anybody, so you may end up taking a guy you would have taken in the second anyway. But on down the draft, I think they did pretty well and got some good value trading back a few times. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, there you go. That's very good. Of course, you know, unfortunately, at least for us, from a football perspective, I am a diehard Giants fan, so I won't hold that again.
Well, there's no way Eli's going to throw 27 interceptions again, so you can at least rest easy that way.
Well, hopefully the offensive line will actually protect him, because the offensive line was Swiss cheese last year. But that's not exactly why we're here. First of all, you know, looking at the actual final tournament, you know, you look at it, and a lot of people said that you had the three best Jeopardy players of all time up there in the finals. Now, do you consider yourself, consider that statement true?
It's hard to make blanket statements like that. I mean, obviously in a tournament like this, there's just so many legends of the game from so many years. Obviously, Chuck Forrest and Frank Spangenberg from the old days, up through Roger and Dan Pawson, who have been on more recently. I think Bill James differentiates for Hall of Fame discussions in baseball between peak value and career value.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I wouldn't feel great about going up against Chuck or Frank back in the 80s. You never know. That's when you're talking about the greatest of all time, you're talking about across different eras, too. And there's almost like a dead ball and a live ball era, even
right,
with the five-time limit days and then now the unlimited wins days. So it's really hard to say, but Ken and Roger are obviously great players and among the best. So, if it's not true, it's not tremendously far off.
Right. So getting back to the first game, okay, I got to ask, who was the one who actually said, go for it, to Roger? Make the daily double. Who was the one? Was that both of you?
As much as I'd love to take credit for it, that was Ken.
Because if, you know, you watched the ebb and flow of those two games. If one question didn't go the right way, the whole outcome could have changed in a lot of respects.
That's true. I think we may look back on that, on these two games, as sort of the 58 Colts Giants greatest game ever played, strictly because of that, because everybody was in it. Like you said, the ebbs and flows were going different directions, and really, if you just change one little thing, it might have changed the outcome. I did have fun watching it, even though I knew what happened, but the crazy thing was the adrenaline was flowing so much at the time that I didn't remember much of it until I actually saw it on TV. So I actually thought that most of the stuff that happened on Friday happened on Thursday and vice versa. So imagine my surprise when I tune in on the Thursday show and see that everything that I had thought happened on Friday was actually happening then. So it made me even more excited to see the Friday show.
Did you actually see the YouTube video with the multi-camera view of the second final Jeopardy?
I did.
That is a brilliant piece of video, because you're watching all the people in the tournament nodding their heads on the final question, which, for those who didn't see it, was on Secretaries of State. And the question was, serving 160 years apart, these two are the only Secretaries of State who have never married. And it was Condoleezza Rice and President James Buchanan. And you're watching these people, and you're watching the reactions to it. What did you think of that perspective of it?
It was kind of cool to see, and I was kind of imagining myself if I'd been in the audience, whether it would have been different or anything, because obviously it's a little different when you're on stage. And I think that's probably why Ken and I didn't come up with the Oscar clue the day before, is that's something we should both know, but I think it was just the adrenaline, the pressure got to us.
Right.
It was fun to watch and to see, you know, some people wrote it down immediately. Some people were kind of chewing on their little Sharpies there, and just to see everybody try to solve it at the same time, which is what happens anyway, but there's usually not a camera on it. So that was very interesting.
Yeah, again, looking at it from a numbers perspective, if Ken gets the question, he wins. At that point,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing, though. You were using the baseball analogy again, you know, Ruth and Mantle, you know, Mantle and Maris. It's Rutter and Jennings. I mean, what is your relationship with him?
Oh, we get along great. I think he kind of said it best in the Jeopardy questionnaire that the publicity people sent him that he ended up posting on his blog, is that, so he's a suburban Seattle dad, and I'm a single guy living in L.A., so in some respects we couldn't be more different. But then when we're in the green room or on stage, we're exactly the same guy. We love the game and love to play and love to play for it at high stakes. So, yeah, there's a few things that have happened to us that haven't happened to anybody else, which I think makes it easy for us to bond, and we have a similar sense of humor, so we get along great.
So are you guys taking your show on the road somewhere?
You know, we might just do that. And in fact, if anybody has any show ideas to pitch, I'm sure we'll both listen.
Speaking of show ideas, I want to talk about the show The League, which you are promoting.
Sure.
Because, you know, you notice that the bar trivia scene has exploded over the last, say, 5 years or so. And tell us about that, the League.
Well, the show's called Pub Quiz.
I'm sorry.
Sort of like The League.
I apologize.
That's okay. But yeah, so my producing partners and I were trying to think of something that I could be in. And we thought, hey, you know, Pub Quiz, why not? And we figured we'd find a way to shoot a pilot cheaply and then sell it around. So it's basically, the tagline is sort of that the League meets Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but with Pub Quiz instead of fantasy football, because The League is about fantasy football, obviously. And it's about a group of awful people who have a Pub Quiz team, and they keep getting beat by the same team. And when their most valuable player gets into a car accident and gets brain damage, they have to look for somebody else to replace him. And they decide they will bring in a ringer, which turns out to be a guy named Brad Rutter, who is sort of a twisted version of the real me. But like I said on Jeopardy, it wasn't really that much of a stretch to play that.
And is there a website for that yet, or is it just that YouTube video?
Yes, you can check out the trailer at pubquizcomedy.com.
Okay, there we go. And now, with that, why do you think specifically the bar trivia scene has just went the way it did? Because you can find pub quizzes all over the country and around the world, too.
Yeah, and the one I go to out here in L.A. With a bunch of Jeopardy people got featured in the Wall Street Journal about a year ago, too. So I guess it's sort of the pub quiz moment. And I don't know. I can't really explain it. I think it's just one of those things where it sort of infiltrated, came across the Atlantic from Britain. And, hey, give a bar something to bring people in on a Tuesday night. It makes sense for them. So why not? I think... I can't really explain it. It's just one of those organic things where people go and they have a good time, and the word spreads around the country, and next thing you know, every bar has a trivia night.
Mm. Now, one of the things that I was noticing, because, of course, I started in Jeopardy in 2001, around the same time you did, and we didn't have Twitter. There wasn't any Facebook. And I love how you handled all the Twitter heat you were getting you know, how do you look at this and you say to yourself, how do you handle it in such a beautiful way? Because you just retweet everything. And the worst stuff, too, stuff we can't really say on here. It's terrible. It's awful.
Well, I think it's just I was trying to do sort of a meta commentary on the society we're living in, where you can where people will see someone on TV answering trivia questions for half an hour and automatically assume that they know them and what their personality is really like, and how they look. It's just social media, it's like anything, is a double-edged sword. There's great things about it. I can stay in touch with my friends all over the world instantaneously, but at the same time, anonymous people who have nothing better to do can just take shots at people on TV for no reason other than that they don't feel very good about themselves. So, it means nothing, which is, again, why I didn't have too much of a problem retweeting stuff like that. So I think it's funny and kind of sad. For the record, 90% of the stuff on there was really positive. It's just, it's to the point where people were tweeting, hey, I'm a big Brad fan, but he won't retweet me unless I say something mean.
Yeah.
So I made sure I retweeted a couple of those, too, just to make sure that I do appreciate people who do support me.
Well, yeah, and it's also, that's also sort of the Arthur Chu phenomenon, to a degree.
Yes, and I took a lot, I took a page out of Arthur's book, certainly. In fact, I tweeted to him at one point, it's like, hey, Arthur, why didn't you tell me it was so much fun retweeting the haters? Because it really was. I spent most of the night laughing, and that was one good thing about being on the West Coast, is for some reason all the hate seemed to come from the East Coast.
Not me, but it is amazing, though, because I personally think this is just that the Arthur Chu quote-unquote hate was sort of a made-up media story. This is just my own personal opinion, because, look, when you're out there, and I agree with what you're saying, you are putting yourself out there to a lot of people who are what we call the keyboard mafia. And the way you handled it was incredibly beautiful, because you just let it roll. Because the way I see it is, there's a line between confidence and cocky. Cocky, you can't back your stuff up. You have never lost a Jeopardy match. So I think you have a bit of a line of confidence that you can do it.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. That's nice to hear.
So what's next for you? I mean, you're not getting the Porsche, as you said.
Alex forbade me expressly. So I think I'm going to – my new plan is to buy an Army surplus Sherman tank and drive around the freeways here in L.A.
Just make sure you get police and government permission to do that, or else, things might happen. But,
right, otherwise it might not end well.
Right, exactly. So what is next for you outside of pub quiz? I mean, you did do some hosting back in Pennsylvania. I mean, doing anything else like that?
Yes, I'm still scouring the breakdowns for host auditions. So we'll see what comes to that. And shopping the pub quiz pilot around. We actually, my production company actually just bought the rights to a book that I don't really want to get into, because I don't want to, spoil anything, but. We're excited about it, and there's a the female lead role is so good that we think we might be able to get some A-list actresses interested in it. So we'll see what happens with that too. But, I'm staying busy, and I'll probably go on vacation a little too.
Yeah. No. By the way, just you talked about host breakdowns. Would you mind Alex's job?
No, I would not mind at all.
I mean, in other words, because. We all know it's that particular spot is going to be really well sought after.
But in another way, it's a really tough spot to go into, because Alex is such a legend and so identified with the show, and he's a broadcasting icon that he's going to be, well, I was going to say he'd be tough shoes to fill, but nobody can fill his shoes. It would be somebody following in his footsteps, which is still not the greatest deal, but I'm sure... like Alex keeps saying, I'm sure the show will go on after he decides to hang it up. But I'd love a shot to do that. But we'll see what happens.
All right, Brad, just give us your particulars, where we can find you on Twitter, any Facebook, any ways, and of course that website one more time for Pub Quiz.
Sure, the pub quiz trailer is at pubquizcomedy.com. I'm at Brad Rutter, that's R-U-T-T-E-R, on Twitter. And I have a Facebook fan page, too, so check that out if you're inclined to.
Definitely. Brad, thank you very much for your time, and congratulations on all your success. And we hope to see you back around sometime.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Good talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.